So let us begin. We wish everybody welcome back after the Yontif. Okay, so we're up to the Gemara here on Hey Amud Aleph, I think. That's where we were. I'm just beginning that. And so we're just going to do a little section on Hey Amud Aleph, and then we're going to, after that, skip to Hey Amud Beis, because we really did the second half of Hey Amud Aleph and the first half of Hey Amud Beis is the Sugya of Chuppah, which we did earlier on Dav Gimel. So there's more to say about it than what we did then, but and, you know, for the sake of getting to some other topic, since we did cover a part of it, first of all, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we'll skip afterwards to Hey Amud Beis, and then we'll see where that takes us. But first, Hey Amud Aleph. And again, I wasn't able to get the Makoros done because I just wasn't at a computer. So we'll, you know, do it the old-fashioned way a little bit, and those of you who have Shas Gemaras, that'll help a little bit too. So the Gemara says on the top of Hey Amud Aleph, if you remember, the Gemara had been searching for Makoros for the three drachim of the Mishnah, Kesef, Bishtar, Bibiya, Kedushin. So we discussed Kesef, and we had the two Makoros, Kicha Kicha Misteafron and Biyatzachin Amen Kesef, as the sources, and then the last Gemara discusses why we need both, and then the Gemara discusses the source for Kiddush Ebiya, which they come back to later on Daf Yud. So now the Gemara turns its attention briefly, it's going to also come back to that on Daf Tes, but to the question of Shtar. How do we know that an Isha's Miskadeshes Bikiddush Shtar? So the Gemara says, Minayin Sha'af B'Shtar, top of the page. So initially, the Gemara thinks that you can derive this from a Kal V'Chom. You don't need a Limud. That's the information that we have should allow us, by logic, to come to this conclusion without another Makar. Okay. We'll see how well that works out. V'Dinhu, which means it's a Kal V'Chom. We can learn it by logic. The point is that we already know Kesef, that Kesef is a basis for Kiddushin. If we could prove that Shtar, right, is a more accessible Kinyan then Kesef, then the fact that Kesef works should sufficiently establish the effectiveness of Shtar. So that's what the Gemara goes about to say. Dinu ma Kesef she'ein motzi. Kesef is more limited, right? It's a more limited kinyan. It only works for Kiddushin. It doesn't work for Gittin. And nonetheless, it works for Kiddushin, machnis. So apparently, Shtar, Shemotzi, and Udin, Shemachnis, right? If Kesef works, then Shtar, which works also for Gittin, is certainly going to work for Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, there's a Pircha in this Kal V'Chomer, because it's a little more complex than that. Mala Kesef, Shekein Ponim Bo Hekdesh U'Maiser Sheini, Tomer B'Shtar, Shekein Ponim Bo Hekdesh U'Maiser Sheini. Dechsiv, Pasuk says, "V'nasa na kesef v'kamlo." That's how kesef works in hekdesh, but shtar does not. So, if in hekdesh and in ma'aser sheni kesef works, even though shtar does not, so you can't derive from kesef that shtar is always going to work because staring you in the face is an exception to that rule. Right, a case where kesef is effective and shtar is ineffective. There's no clear hierarchy. In other words, between Kesef and Shtar, based on the evidence that the Gemara is providing. Okay. So then the Gemara says, okay, well, if you can't learn it out from Kal V'Chomer, because it is more complex, so we still need a Makar. The Gemara says, Amar Kra V'Yatza V'Hoysa. Right? The Pasuk in Kiteitze says, V'Yatza V'Hoysa L'Isha Acher. Right? So, Makish Havaya L'Yitzia. We equate Havaya, Kiddushin, and Yitzia Gittin, and that's the limud, ma Yitzia Bishtar, af Havaya Nami Bishtar. Just as Gittin is accomplished through Shtar, so too, V'yatzav Haisa, Kiddushin is accomplished through Shtar. Then the Gemara says, Va'akish Nami Yitzia L'Havaya. If this is really true, that it's based on the equation between Gittin and Kiddushin, and that's the source for Kiddushin Shtar, then why can't it flip in the other direction? Instead of comparing Gittin, going from Gittin to Kiddushin, go from from Kiddushin to Gittin. Akishnam Yitzia Lehavai, from Gittin to Kiddushin. Mahavaya Bekesef, just as you can accomplish Kiddushin through Kesef, why don't you say Af Yitzia Bekesef, Yatzav Haisa, so you can be Megarish Bekesef as well. Says the Gemara, Amrabaya, Yomru Kesef Machnis, Kesef Motzi, Sanegar Yasa Kategar. The Gemara says, that doesn't make sense, because what, you get in and you get out of this Ishus in the same way, right, both through Kesef. It's like, you know, Kategar Nasa Sanegar. It's like when the, or in Sanegar Nasa Kategar. The defense attorney and the prosecutor are usually on opposite sides of the aisle, right? What works for one shouldn't really work, you know, for the other. So since Kesef is a way to create the bond of Ishus, Kesef should not be a method of ending or terminating that very same bond. So the Gemara says, well, the same logic would hold for Shtar not being effective in both realms, right? Ihachi Shtar Nami, Yomru Shtar Motzi, Shtar Machnis. If you're going to, Shtar is Megaresh, and therefore Shtar is Kone, why don't you say the same argument? Kategar Yasa Sanegar. You're taking the prosecuting attorney, right, and you're turning him into a defense attorney. So the Gemara answers, Mili Dehai Shtara Lechud, Umili Dehai Shtara Lechud. The answer is that when we speak about Shtar, right, the text of the Shtar in each case is different. Since the text is different, therefore there's no Sanegar, you know, Kategar analogy. It says the Gemara, Hachanami Haikas V'Lechud, V'Haikas V'Lechud. Right, no one is saying that you take the same nickel or the same dollar or the same $100 and you use it, you know, for Kiddushin, and then you, you know, you preserve it, and then you, for sentimental value, you take it and you use it for a get. You know, we're talking about whether or not you can use money, just as you can use money for Kiddushin, can you also use money for Gerushin? That's what we're talking about. So what's the difference between a shtar, you know, being effective on both sides because of a different text, and kesef being effective on both sides when we're talking about different different kesef? So the Gemara says, Tiva mia chadhu. It's true, but there's a huge difference, and that is that coinage is coinage, and a text, right, a different text is a totally different situation. Of course, what's going on here is very simple, right? I mean, the idea that he could be Mekadesher with Kesef, and then he could be Megarisher with Kesef, really is obviously very problematic. The question is he a Kone, is he a Makne? Right? In Kiddushin, he's the Kone. Right? So that's why he gives her, symbolically, Kesef Kiddushin. In the case of the Get, he's a Makne. Right? So if he gives her Kesef Kiddushin, that's not a method of Hakna, that's a method of Kenya. But Shtar, the texts of the Shtar, right, define the role of the Shtar. So the Shtar, on the way in, says, you know, Harat Mekudeshesli, you know, Harat Muresesli, Harat into, what are the Lashonos that are effective in Kiddushin? The Shtar, on the way out, says Harat Muteres L'Chalodam, right, or Harat Megureshes. So, of course, there's no stira, you know, in that. And the text of the Shtar dictates whether or not it's a Kenyan or it's a Hakna. Yeah?
Why couldn't it be that she would buy her way out, like an Amma would be bought out?
Well, I mean, in theory, that could be, but except the Pasuk says that, V'nasan B'yada. So both the Kiddushin and the Gerushin, according to the Psukim in the Torah, are initiated by him. Had it not been that way, then it would have been very logical. In other words, you're right. He buys, he gives her kesef on the way in. She gives him kesef on the way out. But since she doesn't initiate again, in fact, midin Torah, right, it's v'nasan, she's the passive party in both of these situations. So that would be the difficulty in flipping it around. Yeah?
But the pasuk also says, v'chasav la'asim v'chisus, right? And if you're saying that they're trying to use that kesef anyway, so that wouldn't be the same.
What do you mean the pasuk says the kasav? That's okay. That's him.
Yeah. In other words, but that's a shtar, right?
No, sefer krisus.
Yeah.
I mean, in which
that's a shtar, right? That means they're referring to a shtar, they're not referring.
Yeah, but it's a get. Okay.
Yes, no, exactly, it's a get. But now they're trying to entertain the notion that you can use a kesef as a method of.
No, that's what the Gemara is rejecting.
Yeah, but right. So you're saying the pasuk says v'nasan la, but that's referring to in the case where you're doing a shtar, can you entertain the possibility that it would?
No, because just like in kiddushin, the pasuk says ki yikach, right? And we're trying to figure out either by logic or by we're saying where there's no shtar in those psukim in parshas kiteitze, but there is a hekesh of yata v'haisa. So now the Gemara is saying, good, there's also v'haisa v'yata. Mm-hmm. So, meaning adding an alternative method through a hekesh is something that we do in Kiddushin. So that's perfectly legitimate to do in Gerushin. Sure. What you can't do is flip who's the kohen and who's the makneh, because that has to do with the nature of the relationship and the broader function, right, of the kinyan at hand. No one is saying in Kiddushin that if you, at least, I mean, again, aside from what we said about a month ago to explain Dalit of the base, Havamina, but no one's saying that if you're Mekadesh B'Kesef, then it's a kinyan, but if you're Mekadesh B'Shtar, it's a Hakna, and if you're Mekadesh B'Bia, it's something else. What we're saying is the sensual relationship is similar. What I was referring to a second ago was that the Gemara said that had we derived Kiddushei Kesef from V'yatza Chinam in Kesef instead of Kikachishisha, you might have thought that it would be okay to have, not with our next topic, Nasnahi V'amra Hi. Meaning we wouldn't care who took the initiative or not. But that would be because we have a totally different Makar. And then Tosa says, yeah, by Kesef, but not by Bia. But that, then the whole point would be with our two Parshios, they're not even written in the same Sefer. You know, I'm not sure how important that part is, but I'm just trying to accentuate how different that they are. So, and since they're not even, so one is really another method of the other, it's a totally different Mechayiv, a whole totally different way of looking at this whole process. Either way, we don't say that, because we say that it's, you know, it is Parshas Kiteitze, it is the word Ki Yikach. And even though it means not only Bia, but it means also Kesef, and then through V'yatza V'haisa, also Shtar, in all three cases, he's the Kone, right? And she's the Makne. By the same token, that's what we're saying in the case of Gittin. We're saying V'yatza V'haisa. However, maybe V'yatza V'haisa, V'haisa V'yatza, and therefore, just as, this works in one way, Kesef on the coming in, Kesef also works the other way, but that doesn't alter the basic structure. It works. It's going to work as a kone makne in the same way that the get does.
How come the Gemara couldn't have just answered that? By get, so with kiddushin, the Torah doesn't specify what it says ki yikach, right, and then we have to figure out what that is. But by get, it says that has to be that it's a sefer krisus, so that's why you would say go one way, not the other way.
Right, but it does. All I'm saying is that v'yatza v'haisa is a good enough makar, to add a method of kiddushin, despite the fact that there is at least a verb, that has one or two meanings, in addition. So why can't that same hekesh provide an additional method, even though it says v'kasav l'sefer krisus. V'kasav l'sefer krisus v'nasam b'yada. I could say maybe that's the ikar derech of gerushin, just like yikach ishisha uva'ala, let's say, is the ikar method of kiddushin. But the Torah's being megala, that there are other, and again, particularly according to me, I've been saying all year that even if all three are doraisa, right, the fact that the Torah presents them differently, not differently, one's a kone, one's a makne. That's what we're trying to say here right now. They're all in the same direction. But nonetheless, the fact that there's a mefurish bakra, and then there's a secondary one, and then a third one, the fact that they're derived differently shows that they do accentuate different themes. So too, I would say the same exact idea you know, with regard to Gittin, that the Torah emphasizes v'kasal sefer krisus, you know, of yatzav ha'isa with regard to the shtar, because that's the ikar way to do it, because that's what shows that it's really a matir, and it's, you know, and so on. But that doesn't mean there can't be another way, albeit one which is less, encapsulating of some of these themes. You know, but what we don't have the right to do is assume a wholesale difference, you know, in terms of who's the kohen ma, because that's about the relationship. You know, that it's a consequence of how we look at their bond, right, which is equal but still different, you know, in men so many respects. And that part of it isn't going to change. I mean, the part of, you know, who's the kona, who's the makna, what might change is the mode. All right? But that's the idea. Okay. Good. So that's the Gemara here. Then we'll just finish off just a little bit more. So then the Gemara says, my roi is mistabra koi begeir, or where am I? Oh, 1 second. Yeah. So the Gemara says, tiva miyachadu. So then the Gemara says, Rav Amar, Amar Kra, b'kasavla, b'ksiva miskareshes, eina miskaresh b'kasef. Something more similar to what you're saying, right? But based on the limud, the kasavla means only b'ksiva. Not, it's an, but not again, not because it says it that way and therefore there can't be anything else. He thinks that it says it that way, even though those words are already unnecessary because of the rest of the psukim there, but as a specific way of rejecting kesef, right? Then the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? The ema b'ksiva miskareshes, miskareshes b'ksiva. Maybe the extra emphasis is not to exclude kesef from gerushin, but to exclude shtar from kiddushin, right? So the Gemara says, "Well, haksiv yatzav haisa, makashav ayali yitzia." Right? Then the Gemara says, "My rois mistabra koi begerushin, memayit gerushin, koi begerushin, umemayit kiddushin." So in other words, if you have a choice, since the pasuk is talking, that part of the pasuk is talking about gerushin, so it's excluding, you know, an alternative form of gerushin. It's not going to be talking about gerushin and excluding, you know, shtar from kiddushin. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Aguli, the afik lehai kol drasha achrida she'ena miskareshes bekesef minale. He who doesn't, who has a different use for that limud, how does he know, indeed, that ena miskareshes bekesef? The Gemara says, Amar kra, sefer krisus, sefer korsa, only a shtar, the ein davar achar korsa. Then the Gemara says, "Rabbanan Kai Krisus May Avdalei." What do they do with this phrase, right? Korsa, right, or Krisus? So the Gemara says something very important. Lichad v'davar hakoris beino levenot, to teach you the din that a get has to be something that is clear and decisive. Kedatanya reza gita chamanash lo tishti yayin. If a person makes a condition and a get, he gives her a get, and he says, on condition that you no longer drink wine. Okay? Amenash lotelchi lebeis avich liolam. I'll give you a get, right? On condition that you promise, you commit never to go to your father's house ever again. Right? Pretty interesting conditions here in the Gemara, right? Why they took drinking and visiting your father's home. Anyways, but I think, you know, it's a very powerful comment. Einze krisus. Basically, if he wants to divorce her, he shouldn't be running her life after he divorces her. Part of the nature of a get, right, is the fact that you know, they go their separate ways, and there has to be a certain space and dignity, you know, and an appreciation for that, respect for that. But kol shloshim yom hareza krisus. Let's say he says, "I'll give you a get, but you have to promise me you're not going to touch any alcohol for 30 days. Right? Or for 30 days, I don't know, he thinks her father is confusing her, whatever, or maybe he's just vindictive, whatever the case may be, you can't, you know, go to visit Papa for 30 days. Okay? Okay. You know, that's not a long-term, you know, control. Again, it's not the 30 days. The point is that it isn't permanent. By definition, a divorce cannot allow, you know, a continue, a you know, an unrestricted period of continued interference or control or entanglement.
Can divorce take effect after 30 days or immediately?
No, it can take place even immediately, as long as the time. That's a general question about tanaim, right? When you append a tanai, general. So do you wait? Does the kiyum depend on the tanai, or the fact that there's no kiyum at tanai will be mevatel the maisa? So that's a whole story. The sugyas in the third parak of kedushin and the seventh parak of gittin, and the rishonim, the ramban and the ran in particular, deal with that a lot. There's a difference between me'achshav tanai and a regular tanai. Is there a difference between something that's bekumvaseh or b'shev altasa? There's a whole Torah on that.
She can get married tomorrow, right?
Uh-huh.
And then she can drink wine within 3 weeks.
Right.
And it's compliant for the get.
Well, then obviously she could. We would discourage her from doing that.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, we would discourage her from doing that. Right. Yeah. Anyway, the Gemara says, "Avrabanan karis krisus lo mashmalup." So then finally the Gemara says, "Chada mechada lo asya tesi chada mitarti," because the Gemara is very rigorous. You know, they don't give up easily. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. You know, we can't learn out without extra limudim. You know, we can't derive shtar from kesef. But maybe tesi chada mitarti. So the Gemara says, hey, we have three, right? To kesef shtar mebia. The Gemara says you need a makor for each. So why do you need for each? Why not have two of them and then the other one from the two, the third from the other two? So the Gemara says, which ones, right? Tesi chad mitarti. So the Gemara says, hey, tesi. So the Gemara says, lo lifter rachmana bishtar. They're going to continue to be rigorous, right? So lo lifter rachmana bishtar. Let the Torah say nothing about shtar. The Teis say, Behanach, learn it out from Kesef and Bia. Because some of the Pirchas were from things where, oh, the Kesef works there, but Bia doesn't, and yet Bia works in Kiddushin, right? That would be the idea. So the Gemara says, it doesn't matter, we can find a common Pircha to this new common source. Right? What's the source? The combination of Kesef and Bia should be a basis for shtar. So what we say is malahanach shekena nasa meruba, right? There's a physical pleasure and monetary pleasure, you know, in kesef slash bia, and there's, you know, just no physical or other benefit to a shtar, right? So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Lo nichtav rachmana bebia v'teisa mihanach. Let's not have a pasuk in bia. Let's only have kesef and shtar. So the Gemara says, Malahada Shekein Kinyana Meruba. Bia is a very rare, I mean, it basically works in Ishus, right? In Kiddushin and in Yibum. But kesef and shtar, you know, they don't work everywhere, but Kinyanan are Meruba. They work in a lot of places, so you're not going to use them even as a united front, you know, to derive Bia. So the Gemara says, O nichtav rachmana bekesef, b'teisei mihanach. So there's one left, right? Don't say anything about kesef and derive it from shtar and bia. So the Gemara says, well, malahana sheken yeshna balkorcha. There is, you know, bia balkorcha, right, in the case of yibum. And there is shtar balkorcha in the case of get, midaraisa. So, but there's no kesef balkorcha. So obviously you can't derive, can't say kesef is a more formidable kinyan than shtar and bia, because shtar and bia can even be, in certain circumstances, neged arata. So the Gemara says, v'chitem kesef nami bal karcha ba'ama ivriya. Oh, there is a case of kesef bal karcha, the case of ama ivriya, right? So the Gemara says, be'isha smilo ashkechan. And this is a big question, of course, whether yud, which can take place in the context of Amma Ivriya, makes all of Amma Ivriya into Ishus or not. Obviously, that's part of the subtext of this Gemara. Okay, that is the Shaka Vitarya of the Gemara. What I want to talk about very briefly are two issues, and then we'll try to start with Hey Amid Beis. The first one is a very interesting question. Here's where I feel a little guilty not having the Makoros in front of us, but I'll just tell you what it says. And that is regarding not something that's in the Gemara, but the way that this Havamina of the Gemara was interpreted by Rashi and the Rashba. initially when the Gemara says, let's derive shtar from a kal v'chomer, right? So the Gemara says, well, you can't, you know, if kesef works, the point is, then shtar should certainly work. And the Gemara said, right, minayin shaf b'shtar b'dinu, ma kesef shein motzi machnes, shtar shein motzi nedin shein machnes. Then the Gemara neutralized it by saying, ma la kesef shekein podin bo hektish shein ma'aser sheni. Right? Meaning that when it comes to hektish and ma'aser sheni, kesef works, shtar doesn't work. So that proves that, you know, shtar can be less effective than kesef. And if once that's true, then you can't assume just because kesef works that shtar works, because sometimes it's less effective, right? As seen in hektish and ma'aser sheni. Fine. So what would shtar have been in hektish and ma'aser sheni? What would the case have been? You might say, well, who cares? It's a line in the Gemara, and the, you know, but the Rishonim cared about everything. They took very seriously the Shach Makarias. What? Oh, so that's what Rashi says. Right? But we'll see in a second, it's not very good. But it's we'll see in a second, the Rashi doesn't like it. That's exactly what I want to zero in on. The Rashi says, Haishtar l'chud v'haishtar l'chud, I'm sorry, wrong. Shtar Shein put him like this, that's the first one. In Kosov Legizbar, Shtar, Almos, Pidyon Hektesh, Ein Hektesh or Hektesh, Ein Hektesh or Padui, sorry, the Bein of Anasa Kosov Kesov Kablo. So Rashi says that the Shtar that doesn't work, right, because it doesn't, no one thinks it works. The Shtar that we're talking about that wouldn't work is a Shtar that would basically be an IOU that you commit, you know, to paying a certain amount of money to Hektish and to...
That's quite different from our case.
What?
In our case, the shtar is itself making kinyan. Here is just trying to... it's an obligation to do something later. It's not... It's a vehicle of debt. It's not.
Unless at this point in the Havamina that the Gemara thought something like this too. It's hard to know. Right. It certainly doesn't parallel what we normally don't shtar to be. So the Rajba disagrees. And, you know, for more, his stronger objections than what you just said, but I think that's also part of it. The Rajba says, the shtar, you know, that doesn't work is the shtar that says, you know, I hereby declare that Hektesh is Padui. Now, and that doesn't work. And that's parallel, of course, to the shtar that works in Gittin and in Kedusha, meaning it's a proclamation, it's a contractual you know, framework for a proclamation, for a statement, right? Of course, the problem with that is that when I declare that, you know, it doesn't have any very, very much meaning in Hektesh and in Ma'aser Sheni. So you can see the flaw in either interpretation in terms of the parallels. The flaw in Rashi is what you said, and the flaw here is what we just said now. However, what's intriguing about all this is that the Rajba says much more than this. The Rajba says, would this phantom shtar, you know, that doesn't but that might have worked in Hektesh and in Ma'aser Sheni, according to Rashi, would it even work in Kedushin? Forget about whether it is the shtar Kedushin. You're totally right about that. But would it have worked? Let's say you wrote a shtar and it said, I owe you, to the woman, you said, I owe you $100. Right? Would that work? Would she be Mekudeshes? The implication in Rashi is that it would work because shtar works in Kedusha. Right? All right, that isn't the shtar that we speak of in Kedusha, but would it even work? So the Rajba says something very interesting. He says, number one, it wouldn't. How does he know it wouldn't? So he says, because the Gemara later on, and Avches says, Harei at mekudeshesli bimana. If a person says to a woman, I'm mekadesh you with $100, then nasan la mashkon, and instead of giving her the $100, you know, the old switch and bait, you know, but not completely, but he gives her a mashkon, a pawn, a security. In other words, he doesn't have $100, or he doesn't have it on him, right? So he reaches in his pocket, instead of giving her the $100 that he just told her about, he gives her a watch. And he says, you know, this is the security, the surety, that I'll give you $100. Does that work? So the Gemara says, it's not mekudeshes if that's the way it happens. Because mana ain't kan, mashkon ain't kan. He's not mekadesher with the mashkon, he's mekadesher with $100. He didn't give her the $100, he didn't give her the mashkon. So he's using the mashkon to cover for the $100. Now why exactly it doesn't work is a debate in the Rishonim, but that's kind of beside the point for now. So the Rajba says, just as there's a din of mana inkan mashkan inkan, here too also, you know, he says to her mukadeshously with $100, then he gives her an IOU, mana inkan, shtar inkan. Now that is a very flawed argument, in my opinion. I don't think that's a strong argument at all. We had a similar argument, by the way. Just one more second. In the Tosis Rid, when we talked about Chalipin, I don't know if everybody remembers this, on back end of Gimel and Beis.
Sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm not going to say to you, like, new, so what does it say? I just appreciate that you're giving me some support here. Yeah. Well, it was an unforgettable Tosis Rid, was it not?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So the Tosis Rid has a line like that also, where he says, oh, you know what the real case of Chalipin is? He says, what's the Tosis Rid is bothered by the following question. Gemara says, because in theory you could give a woman, or you can give somebody a kli, pachas mishava pruta for Chalipin, therefore, Chalipin cannot be used for Kiddusha. So all the Rishonim ask, you know, and the Tosis Rid even more strongly than the others, if he gives her a pruta, it should work, and if he does, he gives her less a pruta, it shouldn't work. What do you mean? Because he could, therefore, no matter what, what's the big deal? He'll give a pruta, and it'll be fine. So the Tosis Rid says, no, because what we're really saying here is, he wants to give, he's mekadesh with $100, and then he says, and I'm mischayev to give it to you through this kinyan, by the kinyan that I'm making with this sudar. It's a very radical pshat. No one else interprets this way. The Ksos has a whole discussion. The Marit has a whole discussion. Everybody discusses what does this Tosis Rid really mean. Anyways, the Tosis Rid says, it's manein kan, chalipanein kan. They're referring to the same Gemara in Daf Chesel Med Aleph. I thought that was also, that part of it, I thought was a very weak argument. And I think in this part of the Rajba too, because who told the Rajba, I think there's another part that's a good argument, I'll get to in a second. How does the Rajba know that that's the case? And how does the Tosis Rid know that that's the case? Meaning, in the case of mana inkan, mashkan inkan, number one, maybe it's a special din in the relationship between mana and mashka. Okay. Even if that's not true and it's more of a paradigm, which I'm happy to accept, although I think you could make the first argument, the point is that is the case. That's the case of the Gemara. Case is, I go to the Isha, I say, mukadeshously bimana, right? And then I do this, I don't know if it's called switch and bait or whatever it is. But the point is, it isn't exactly above board, right? I'm promising her $100, I dig my hands in my pocket, or maybe it isn't that dramatic, right? And then I give her something else. I give her something that will secure that later on. So mana inkan, mashkan inkan. And if indeed that's the way it happened with the chalipin in Achanami, you might say, you know, mana inkan, chalipin inkan. And maybe if that's what happened here, even Rashi would say, mana inkan, shtar inkan. But who says that that's what happened here? That's not what Rashi says. It's not fair to Rashi. What Rashi says is that they wrote to the Gizbar, where they're in Kosov the Gizbar, Shtar Alamos, Pidyon Hekdesh. That didn't say that they went to the Gizbar, you know, he called a press conference, he said, I'm going to be pulled to the Hekdesh, oh, and here's my IOU. That's not what happened. He went to the Gizbar, he wrote him an IOU, and he handed it over to him, and he said, you know, this is the IOU that's going to commit me to going through with this. So he went to the Isha, he wrote her an IOU. Not that he said to her, I rate Mukadesh just for mana, and then he gave her an IOU instead of giving her the mana. The mana that he was Mekadesh her with was an IOU for a mana. That's the case of Rashi. And that, it's not clear at all, is a problem of, at least it's not the same case as mana inkan, mashkin inkan. Unless the case of mana inkan, mash, which is an issue there, is, Hariat Mukadesh just li, B'mana agav v'smashko. Not that it's a two-step process. So that's objection number one. Just give me one more second. Objection number two is more serious. Objection number two is where the Rajba says the following. Rajba says, if you look at the Gemara in Bechoros, Dafnun Beis Amud Beis, and Ksuvis, Kuf Beis, I think, in both of those Gemaras, some interesting terminology. The way the Rajba understands those Gemaras, and to be fair, the Pashtus, the Rajba's right about that. I'll explain what I mean in a second. If you look at those Gemaras, it seems clear that in the case of Pidyon HaBen, if I go to the Kohen, right, and I give him an IOU, that does not work.
Is that what?
If I give the Kohen an IOU, it doesn't work. What's that?
It was the IOU for the IOU.
What do you mean?
You say you can't pay off an IOU with an IOU. You had this line a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay. So maybe I think I was talking about Milva then, and I was referring to this idea. So we'll get to that in just a second. 100%. So the So the Rajma says, you see from Pidyon HaBen, right, that what Rashi is describing here is not an effective method of kinyan, right? That's what the Rajba, that's a legitimate objection. The Netziv in the Merome Sadeh has a very fascinating piece here, in which he says, if you look really carefully at Rashi and Bechoros and Rashi and Ksuvis, you will see that unlike Tosus there, and unlike the Rajba here, and most Rishonim, who read the Gemara the way the Rajba did, Rashi himself thinks that the only reason that you can't write the Kohen an IOU is a Dindrabana. But Minat Torah, you really could. So says the Netziv. Rashi in Kiddushin is absolutely consistent with Rashi in Bechoros and Rashi in Ksuvas. Rashi thinks an IOU is fine and good. But if you don't hold like that very clever answer of the Netziv, although I think it's a terrific, if he's right, it's true, then it's great. So the Rajma's objection is a good objection. Not so much the Mana Inkan, Shtar Inkan, but the second one, an IOU, who says that an IOU is considered to be a proper form of kinyan. However, it's a little more complicated than that. I'm just going to show you one Gemara, and then if you still have a question, I'm going to take a question before I go too far with this. I just want to just bring to your attention one Gemara on Tez Zayin Amud Aleph. Here the Gemara speaks about Giraon Eved Ivri. You have an Eved Ivri, right? And you can buy out his contract, essentially. The Gemara says here, on Tez Zayin Amud Aleph, B'Giraon Kesef, almost in the middle of the page, a little bit towards the lower part, a little south of the middle, B'Giraon Kesef, right? The Gemara says, Amar Chizkah D'Amar Krav V'Hafta, B'Lamed Shemegara Pidyona V'Yotza. It says V'Hafta. That means that you can pay down his obligation to the point of freeing him. That's called Giraon Kesef. Okay. Tana. What's that?
By an
Amma.
Not by an
Evid. By an Evid also. Tana V'Kones Atzmo B'Kesef U'Bishav Kesef. Right? U'Bishtar. Referring to the Eved Ivri. So the Gemara says, Bishlamo Kesef Nichsim B'Kesef Miknasa Shav Kesef Nami Yashiv Gulasam Rachmana L'Rabbi Shav Kesef K'Kesef El Hai Shtar Hechadami. What is the method of shtar? How do you know that that works, and how does that work in Eved Ivri? So the Gemara says, Ile medikosav leishtar admei, that he wrote a shtar on the money. What's that? An IOU. Right? So the Gemara says, Hainu kasav. Ooh, that's an interesting line. Right? Which the Rajba ignores for some reason. The Gemara here seems to say that shtar admei, an IOU, is kesef. But of course, it's a little bit of a problematic line for Rashi, too. Right? Or at least something needs to be said about it. Because the way that Rashi is interpreting the Gemara on Hey Amud Aleph is to explain what? What would a shtar on Hekdesh and Bais Hasheni look like? Right? What would it be, this phantom shtar that doesn't exist? What would it say in it, and what would be its nature? Right? So the Rashba is saying it would be like a shtar kiddushin and a shtar gerushin. It would be a declaration that has the force of a contract. And Rashi's saying, no, it would be a commitment, it would be a monetary commitment. So then the Rashba is saying, we're talking about a monetary commitment. It's worth zero. It doesn't work in Pidgin Aben. Right? And therefore it wouldn't work in Kedushin either. The Gemara here on Tazayin Amud Aleph is saying, Shtarat Pabepashtus, that an IOU, a declaration in a shtar of obligation, in other words, shtar admei, is effective. It's not zero. It's not just a promise. But at the same time, the Gemara rejects that's what's referred to when we talk about shtar, because the Gemara says hainu kesef. So the truth is, you could say that Rashi is right, that an IOU might work in kiddushin, because that's the phantom, you know, hektish and maisa sheni. You know, but there are two questions to ask, right? One is, well, why do you call that shtar? It should be called kesef. Moreover, once you do call it kesef, why doesn't it work in hektish and maisa sheni, which work the kesef? So this Gemara on Tezayin and Aleph is problematic for the Rashba, but in some respects is equally problematic, although in a more subtle way, for Rashi. Now, I think that there is a little bit of an answer to this question, maybe, and that is as follows. We have discussed, before that, was the question or not? Yeah.
I'm just wondering why. We know that on Kadesh and Milva and Mukudeshes.
Yeah.
Milva is a star home, that's all.
No. So this is what, when I referred to it a few weeks ago, what I was trying to say was that in a certain respect, a Milva and this shtar admei, whatever you want to call it, are what I like to call parallel opposites. They share something in common, but they're really also opposites. A milva is a case where we have a previous debt relationship. Not a third person. Even if it's a straight, even if it's just you and I. Let's say, I borrowed money from you. I owe you money.
And now
you, the question is whether the money that I am obligated to give back to you can be used, right, for a kinyan. It starts off, in other words, there's already a debt, there's a creditor and a debtor, right? And the question is whether the creditor, who has the right to collect, can he exchange that right, we'll call it, for lack of a better, we don't want to be more precise right now, can he exchange that right in lieu of kesef? Here we're talking about initiating there's no debt relationship between us. I want to create one, but I don't create one by taking money from you. I create one by promising money to you. Right? That's an opposite situation, although there's much parallel between them. In both cases, there's no cash being exchanged. In one case, there was previous cash. In this case, there's the promise of future cash. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So they are opposites, although they share something in common.
So if we go one step further and talk about the Kadesh Bahanoas a little bit.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that when we get to Vamba Beis, but yeah.
What's being transacted here? There's no cash.
No, so Hanas Milva, but at least you could say. First of all, there's a debate what that means.
Okay.
Fine. But that all that aside, there's no Hanas Milva in an IOU because, you know, again, this Hanas Milva, whatever Hanas, Arva Chazimna, Hanas Milva, let's assume it means, you know what, you don't have to pay. Imagine the anxiety of not having the relief, you know, that you know, this $1 million debt is no longer on your head, right? Or that you no longer have to sell,
the
whatever that gives you pleasure. You don't have that in an IOU. where you're initiating an obligation. Because nothing has happened, really. I mean, because the person's happy that they're going to get an IOU? I mean, that's a little bit amorphous. That's not Masakh Lefanai, son of Dabra Chalayach, Beshilton, right? It's less than that, even. So I don't think there's any Hana element in an IOU. But you hear the question. The question is, according to Rashi, on the one hand, this Gemara substantiates that we look at an IOU as something. On the other hand, it seems that the something is Kesef, to the point that the Gemara is saying, it's not Shtar, it's something, but it's Kesef. So if that's the case, how come on Hay, Rashi thought that that was maybe Shtar? Ah. So, getting back to an old distinction, but an important one that we've been using all along, and that is the difference between two types of Kesef. We'll call it Kesef, right, and Piron. Meaning there are kinyanim, and this is very relevant to the milva issue, which is one of the reasons we brought it up. There are, we'll revisit it when we talk about the Kaddish Milva. There are piron type situations. Piron is basically the balance of obligation or debt, or you know, between them, right? If I, you know, acquire a $1,000 sada from you. Right? So a piron way of paying for it would to be for me to transfer to you or make sure that it ultimately gets transferred to you $1,000. That's piron. Kesef is a more symbolic kinyan. Right? So just to highlight it, it's very attractive to say that that might be the difference between kesef, Bekarka and Metaltalin, you know, which is Bemos. Right? There's a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish and Perakazov, right, whether Dvar Torah Mos Konos or not. That refers to Metaltalin. Everybody agrees when it comes to Karka, right? That Karka's nicknames Bekesa Bishtar and Bechazaka. It's a Mishnah and Daf Chavav and Masachet Kiddushin. But Metaltalin, there's a debate whether Dvar Torah Mos Konos, but Midrabanan they made Xera, or even Torah it's Meshicha and not Mos. Why do you call the Kinyan and Karka Kesef, and why do you call the Kinyan and Metaltalin, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who thinks it works, Mos? Right? So the Rishonim talk about it, and the Rishonim also asks the question, like, where's the Makar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, for this Kinyan Mos? I mentioned this before. So the Ramban has a Deya in Hazav that the Rav liked very much, and that is that, oh, Kinyan Mos, we learn that from a Svara. There's 2 days in the Ramban, whether we have Makar, Ochel B'Kesef Tishpareini, or it's just a Svara. How can it be a Svara? We don't learn Kesef in Hektesh, there we need Vinasa Kesef, a Kamblo, and so on. Right? What does that even mean? Of course, it comes up very much when we were talking about, you know, what really, even in Karka, is Koda, is it that first Pruta, which is Kesef, or is the first Pruta Tchilas Piron, and it's a Skifa B'Milva, but basically it's the total sum. Right? The Sma and the Taz and Simen Kufzadi have this famous debate, and then the Xos has his view, likes the Sma, the Sivas likes the Taz. Some of the Achronim say, yeah, and there's an actual nafkamina. When you have to pay the $1,000,000 or the $1,000 for the Sadeh, are you really paying in the end $1,000 or $1,001? Right? Because if it's Piron, then it's really $1,000. And even if you give one, it's, you know, one Betoras Tchilas $1,000. And then you'd have to have the, you know, you add the 109, the 999, you know, remaining. But if it's really Kesef, well, you still have to pay the $1,000 because that's the condition, that's a smichus das, but that's how the kinyan is. The kinyan is with the one, so it's going to be $1,001. Anyways, in the beginning of the year, we talked about it because kicha kicha misteafron, and part of that discussion is like, well, if it's kicha kicha misteafron, could it be piron? The Xos says, yes, it can be piron. Not because you can put a price tag on an isha, but because, in his view, the kinyan, you could put a price tag on kinyan of the isha. We talked about it earlier in the year. In a way, he connects it to that same Tosas Rim. But the Taz and others say Yeah, you can't. Therefore, it's got to be that kesef, karka, is kesef. It's not really piron. That's what makes the only thing that makes sense in kiddushin. If you look at the whole analysis, part of the raya is back and forth whether kesef in mamonis is piron or it is kesef. Break down, in my opinion, I mean it's clear in some of the in many of the cases between raya's from karka and raya's from betalta, right? Which works very well. And then I say the Rav liked this idea too, that karka is kesef, and also a kesef a couple. You need exerce a kesef. It's a formal kinyan. You can't really put a price or piron on karka anyway. We talked about this, you know, because karka li'ola mamades, and karka has a certain mystique, you know, all the various reasons. But taltalin has a, you know, has a very small shelf life. You know, it's destroyable. It's, you know, it might endure for a long period of time, but that's just a coincidence. You could hide it, you could destroy it. You know, its real value is in the present. You can put a price tag on that. Why am I telling you all this? What does that have to do with anything? It's very relevant to milva when we get to it, but I think it's very relevant here too. What we're saying is, maybe this is my suggestion, when it comes to pidyon, hekdesh, and maaser sheni, right? So piraon doesn't apply. The whole idea there is the formality of kesef. And that's why it's v'nasan a kesef kamlo. In the case of maaser sheni, it's even more than that. It's the tsura of the madbeya, right? Not the value. Oh. But when we're talking about giron, evan ivri, I haven't seen this. This is my suggestion. What's giron evan ivri? Eidachal piraon godol mizeh. That's for sure piraon. It's the idea that you are, you know, you have a correspondence between his, in a way, a piraon, you know, the monetary aspect of Ibn-Ibri is viewed like, a little bit like schiros, poalim. Right? You're paying down the, you know, the work contract. Right? So maybe when it comes to giraon, when it comes to writing an IOU, right, in the context of giron, kesef, that actually might be very effective. I'm trying to answer two questions here. One question I'm answering is, what does the Rashba do with this Gemara? Second question I'm trying to answer is, what does Rashi do with this Gemara? Because on the one hand, it supports him, but on the other hand, the Gemara calls it kesef, not shtar. Rashi needs it to be shtar. The answer to both questions, I'm suggesting, is that an Eved Ivri, the whole context is about, of the Hefta, the Giron, Kesef anyway, is Piron. And when it comes to Piron, IOU is not such a bad thing. As long as the Eschaivus is something that is enforceable or serious, in the end of the day, if it means that you're going to get your money, right, that's what counts. Formally, when I write an IOU, is it like handing over, you know, a shining piece of silver or gold or whatever the matbea hayotze is? Is it a formal act? No. All it is, maybe, is tchilas or the guarantee of piron. That may be true in milva too. That's part of the parallel, not part of the opposite. Yeah. But when it comes to pidyon hekdesh and maaser sheni, right? If shtar is going to work there, it's going to have to work the Torah's kesef. That's what Rashi, that's like shtar. That is a shtar. It's an IOU, but it's a shtar. It's only going to work as an IOU under the rubric of shtar. And that's what Rashi has in mind. And for the Rashba is saying, forget about Kiron, Evan, Ivri, you know, every year like takes off the amount. That's total Piron. We're talking only about cases where there's some element, like Kiddushin, like Pidyon HaBen, where there's a formal Kesef. Everybody with me? Yeah. Having said that, let's go back to the question of Pidyon HaBen. So what about Rashi? What is Rashi going to say about Pidyon HaBen? Right? So that's where I mentioned that other thing. I think there are two good answers, and probably more than two good answers, to this question. In addition to the Netziv Sahara, again, Netziv Sahara, just to remind everybody, was that if you really look carefully at Rashi himself, in Bechoros and in Ksubas, Rashi thinks that Daraisa, it does work in Pidyon HaBen. Okay. That's one. Number two, if I owe the Kohen five slime for Pinjin Abel, right? So I give him an IOU of five slime?
I really owe you.
What?
I really owe you five slime.
Yeah. So the point is, like, what is that even? There are two elements, right? One is on a purely quantitative, you know, financial basis. If I give you an IOU for five slime, you know, how much is that going to fetch in the distressed assets market?
That's resolvable by giving you an IOU for six slime.
100%. That's true. Then maybe that's an afkamina. Except that maybe if there's no fixed sum, either I could say inokanami and that works, if that's the problem. Or I might say, well, since you need, part of the din of Pinjin Aben is that it's a fixed and measurable sum. It's a davar katzuv. And this, a distressed asset, I don't mean a distressed asset, you understand what I mean, you'll tell me the proper, you know, the Xerox photostat equivalent of all this. But you know, a what?
A marketable asset.
A marketable asset. But the point is that its marketability, or its value, is subject to, yeah, whatever that is, and whether, you know, what the likelihood is in a particular society, how many delinquent people there are, what conditions, and so on and so forth. As we know, the actuarial stuff that we talk about. So, in Ochanam, you could say you give one for 10 or 7, it'll work. That's 5. Or you could say this other argument that has to be a davar katzuv by definition. Although, again, in the other direction, let's remember that the Gemara says on Chesam and Aleph, we've talked about it previously, that when it comes to Pidgin Aben, the Kohen can say Lididi Shavali. But that's still different, maybe, you know, if it comes from him or if it comes from the other side. Lididi Shavali means sentimental value. For me personally, the Gemara says that on Chesam and Aleph, that he gave a Sudar to the Kohen, and objectively in the market, it wasn't worth five slime, right? But he sent him Lididi. So for me, you know, getting back that, you know, particular thing, you know, with all the nostalgia, or for me, because of the rest of my collection, whatever it is, Lididi Shavali. Now, the Rishonim point out that Lididi Shavali, and this has to be, Lididi Shavali, right, is not the same as saying a mochel, or a mevater. You can't be mevater on the, if you're a Kohen, you can't be mevater on the Heislaim. You can give it back afterwards, that's a different question. You know, but you cannot be mevater because the Torah said that that's the hagdara of pidgin abet, right? But you can't say I'll take 3 instead of 5, but you can say this 3 is worth 5 to me. Now the next step is to figure out, does it really have to be so? And and is it measurable? Like, is there a good objective reason why? For him, as opposed to the rest of the marketplace, you know, because he has a collection, because he has nostalgia, because he has a fetish about this kind of a sudar, you know, whatever it is, or is it enough that, you know, it's reasonable, right? Fine. I'm just trying to show that in Lididi Shavali might be an exception to the rule that you need a davar katzuv in Pidgin Abet, but it's still different, and there's still an objective element, you know, in it. As well. So that's one perspective. The other one is the one that you're referring to, which is, it has nothing to do with the quantitative value. What it really has to do is the following. Can you have a hiskaibus on a hiskaibus? In other words, the Torah basically said that if you have a ben bechor, right, and then you are obligated, there's a mitzvah, there's a chiyuv, to give hay slime to the Kohen, to be podi your son. That's called the mitzvah of pidgin aben. So if I say that an IOU that I initiate in a vacuum, when there's no connection, you know, between the two parties, and there's no obligation, right? I might say that, oh, initiating that kind of an obligation constitutes, right, an act of kesef, or shtar, or whatever it is. Like, it's a kinyan. But it's much harder to say that when the Torah already, right, the Torah already imposes chiyuv on you. Torah said, you have to pay five slime. And now he's saying, I'm going to pay 5 slime. Now again, in the end of the day, you could still say, well, previously it was a chiyuv Torah, and now, you know, he has, you know, undertaken something that makes it more enforceable, you know, in the court of the previous, it's kfiya la mitzvah, so now it's, you know, it's subject to gviya the bezdin. Or, and, previously he has some amorphous general obligation, you know, pidgin a ben, he can do it, give it to any coin that he wants, and here he's, you know, he's done something substantive by obligating to a particular coin. Are those factors sufficient, right, to take this from, you know, a, from being what we'll call as a superfluous ischaivus to making it into a significant ischaivus? Interesting question. That's an interesting question. Nafkamina may be, depending on what we said before, but if you up the ante. So either way, these might explain why, you know, even if it works in Eved Ivri, or, and at least in Kiddushin, or it might have worked, you know, in Pidgin Aben and in Hekdesh, why it wouldn't work at the end of the day, you know, in Pidgin Aben. Of course, the answer to the question, let's assume it doesn't work in Pidgin Aben, but it does work in Eved Ivri, is just very easy, like I said before. That you could say, oh, it doesn't work, you know, in Pidgin Aben, because that's a formal din. And it works, you know, where you need Piron, Giron, Eved Ivri, for the same reason that the Gemara doesn't even call it a shtar, as we said. It calls it Kesef, or Mamon. Yeah?
Why isn't Maisa Sheni and Hegdish Piron? After all, you've got to give Hegdish the value.
Well, you know, that's a question. Do you or not? I mean, remember, number one, that there's Chomesh in some cases, so which proves that it isn't.
That means it's more than the value.
Or the fact that it's more shows you that it's, you know, that it's not. Again, it's v'nasan akasa pekamla. Also, remember you have the din of Shmuel, which is that, you know, sometimes pidyon can take place. You know, pidyon mana for pruta. So it's tricky. In Maisa Sheni, that's certainly the case. So and that's a topic in its own right, whether the amounts need to really correspond, you know, or not. Okay. One other point, and this is related in a way, and I think I mentioned this already, but I'm just going to repeat it since the context is important, just to review it. And that is the other comment of the Netziv. Right, the Netziv says about in the beginning of this sugya, right, the Gemara quotes a pircha from, right, the Gemara said, let's learn shtar from a kav chomer. You don't need a makar. You know, if kesef works, shtar certainly works. Right? Shtar is a more effective kinyan than kesef. Then the Gemara said, no, not true. Shtar doesn't work in Maisa Sheni and Hekdesh. Masha'in Kain, kesef. Fine. So then Netziv just asks a good question. He says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Dvar Torah, Mos Konos, so shtar doesn't work in Metaltalin. Right? So it means that Kesef works in Metaltalin. And it doesn't, and shtar doesn't. So why does the Gemara need to be so exotic? She came potem bakdeshus or meiser sheni. Just say Mos. Right? According to Yochanan, Mos Konos. Ma l'shtar she'lo mahani b'metaltalin, tomar b'mamon she'mahani. Right? Good question? You don't seem very happy with that.
That's okay. Tomar is much more expansive. It's everybody. It's
what do you mean, everybody? Oh, okay, good. You can answer that, for sure. The Netziv's own answer is very fascinating. The Netziv said, this is why I mentioned it in the past. Netziv says, you know why? Because Kiddushin is not a Dine Mamonis type of a Kenyan. Right? What is it we say about Kiddushin and Av Gimel Amid Beis, which we spend so much time on? Right? That Isha is not Miskadeshes Bechalipin, because it's Nayo Bepachas Mipruta. Forget about the Tosrid for now. Right? The Isha Bepachas Mishav Pruta Lomakanya Nafsha. Right? According to Rashi's Girsa. Meaning, when it comes to Kiddushin, the standards are more rigorous, right, than they are apparently in regular kinyanim. Well, it's mekanya nafsha. Like, why should that be? Says the Netziv, because kiddushin is a davar shebekdusha. The Gemara says in Zayin Amud Aleph that if you're mekadesh katzi isha, whatever that means, you know, the kiddushin is pashta bekula, like hektesh, right? And the language, of course, of kiddushin is the language of kiddusha. And the bracha that we make under the chuppah, mekadesh yisrael al yidei chuppah v'kiddushin, I mentioned this in the past. The gonim ask, like you know, why do we mention mekadesh yisrael dafka in this mitzvah and so on? Because the davar shebekdusha, right? In many respects. It says in the Tziv, we're not going to compare it to most konos. We'd much rather compare it to pidyon hektes and ma'aser sheni. A very nice idea. I think one could give a different answer based on what I said before. And I don't think these answers are mutually exclusive either. And that is that, oh, we're dafka going to pick, of course, you know, we're not going to compare it to most konos. Not because we need to compare it to pidyon hektes and ma'aser sheni, but two things. Number one, in light of the Gemara in Tezayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that Shtar Admei in the Eved Ivri is Kesef. So Bishlomo, according to what I said before, if we're dealing with, I'm sorry, is Mos. If, the way I'm sorry, calling it. Bishlomo, if we're dealing with, you know, Pidyon, Hektesh, Meiser, Sheni, you know, which are Kesef type in Yanim, and the comparison to Kiddushin. So, fine. But if we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah Mos Konos, which is called Mos, not Kesef, which may not even need a Makar, works Misvara. The whole point is Piron. So in that circumstance, the whole Shakla Vatari of the Gemara doesn't get off the ground if you hold like Rashi, because the Shtar Admei, in that case, is Kesef, not Shtar. Right? That's number one. But even more to the point is, we're not going to compare Kesef Kiddushin to Piron, right? We'd much rather connect, not because of the Kedusha part per se, although it isn't unrelated. We'd much rather compare it to Kesef, because that's really what it is. It's not about putting a particular amount or quantity. It's not about balancing, you know, the obligation, the financial obligations, and neutralizing any kind of, you know, inequity between them. Right? It's about the formal, you know, Kinyan Kesef. So if that's the case, then the last thing we want to quote is Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Good. So that is the some of the issues that come up here. Now, do we have any? We have another couple of minutes. We'll just start at least. Now let's just turn to the next topic, and then I'll try to give you some. I'll try to get, you know, the Makoros in early next time. But the Gemara Daf Hayomid Beis. So the Gemara says here in the middle of Hayomid Beis, again, the middle sugya, the intervening sugya is the Chuppah sugya, which we pretty much did. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. Everybody have that? Ketzad Bekesef. So the Gemara says, Nasan La Kesef, Oshava Kesef. Right? The Amar La, Haret Mekudeshesli, Haret Muresesli, Haret Lilintu, Hareza Mekudeshes. So here the Gemara speaks a little bit about some of the different Lishonos. The Gemara expands on that in the continuation. That he gives her Kesef, Shava Kesef, and he makes this declaration. Fine. So the Gemara says, Abal, however, he shenasna v'amra, he, if she is the one who is either doing the act of Kiddushin or the declaration, right, Hareini Mikudeshes Lach, even though she's not saying Hare, right, Ata Mikudashli, it's just the, she's doing the Nesina and she's doing the Amira, even as she's kind of maintaining or preserving, you know, the nature of the Ishus, which is more moderate in a way, one would think, unless you think it's a discrepancy, that's the problem, right? Or Hareini Mureses Lach, Hareini lach liintu, ena mekudeshes. Okay. So now, the Gemara asks the obvious question, and that is you have two extreme cases here. You have Nasan Huva Amarhu, which is good. You have Nasan Hiva Amrahi, which is no good. And the question is, what about the middle case, right? Or middle cases. The Gemara speaks about a middle case. The Rishonim also ask about the other middle case. So the Gemara says, Maskefler, Papa, Tamid Nasan Hu, Vamarhu. Right? Everything is fine because it says, you know, Ki Yikach Ish Isha, and he did both things, and that's fine. Ha Nasan Hu, Vamrahi. But if there was like a balance of activity here, he did the Nasina, she did the Amira, it sounds like that wouldn't be good, right? Enem Kudeshes, but Ema Seifa. Aval, Hisha Nasna Lo, the Amrahi, Lo Havik, Kiddushin. If she does everything, it's no good. So Tabad Nasna Hivi Amrahi, Hanasan Huvi Amrahi, but if it was the middle case, right, where there was a division of labor, right? He did the Nasina, she did the Amira. Here too, it's an interesting question to ask, right? Is it the specific division that might be better, or is it, you know, the fact of dividing? It sounds like Hava Kiddusha. So the Gemara says, Resha Dafka Seifa Kedi Nezva. That really, Nasan Huva Amarhu exclusively is effective, and Nasan Huva Amrahi is the equivalent of Nasnahi Va'amrahi, right? And, Seifa is just like, you know, following in line linguistically, but it is indeed misleading. V'tani Seifa Milsa the Sosra El Resha, the Gemara says, come on, it's one thing if the Seifa doesn't add anything, but if the Seifa is misleading, you know, that's more problematic. El Hachikamar. Nasan Huva Amaru Pshita Dahava Kiddushin. Right? Nasan Huva Amrahi, according to this view, Nasa Kamisha Nasna Hiva Amrahi. The way to look at it is it's not a Resha and a Seifa, it's, you know, it's kind of a Muvla, that Nasan Hu, anything but Nasan Huva Amarhu, is the equivalent of Nasna Hiva Amrahi. You know, there are no half measures or balance in this equation. It's all or nothing. The law of a Kiddushin. That's one view of the Gemara. Iba Yisema, Nasan Huva Amarhu, the Kudeshes. Nasan Huva Amrahi, Enem Kudeshes. Nasan Huva Amrahi, in Achanami, Sveikahi. Now the Girsa that we have in our Gemara is Sveikahi, the Chayshinan Midrabanan. Very problematic usage, because typically Sveikahi means Safek Daraisa, and Chayshinan Midrabanan seems to be saying that it's not a suffix, Daraisa, right? That the Daraisa, this is resolved, and it's only Chashash, Midrabana. Okay. We don't have any time left for today, so let me just tell you the, number one, the Girsa problem, and number two, just what, you know, what it is that we're going to be looking at. So number one, there are three Girsos, or three views, if they're not Girsos, in the Gemara here. One is a text that we have that Rishonim struggled with. The Ran, the Rajba, the Pshita Nodalmi. Like, what does it mean to say Sveika Hiv Chashina Midrabana? And, I'll just add, what some Rishonim speak about, is this connected to the broader view often associated with the Rambam, which is that Sveika Daraisa Lechumra maybe itself is only a Din Drabana? Right? Something to think about. Sveika Hiv Chashina Midrabana. Is this a source for that? Is it an example of it? Or is it an exception that other people agree with too in this particular case? Well, what is this? Sveikahi v'chayshinan midrabanan. The Rif only had the girsa, chayshinan as nasan huva amrahi, chayshinan midrabanan. Show it to you next week, or, you know, the next time we meet. Chayshinan midrabanan. No sveikahi. Within that, there's a debate, we'll document it for next time, between the Ran and the Shita l'Nodalami. Don't ask me who wrote it. What does it mean, Chashina v'Rabbanan? You know, what is the Daraisa? The Daraisa is that it's certainly not Kedushin Bad, or the Daraisa is it certainly is Kedushin Bad. Right? Two opposite views. The Rambam, in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Beis, dropped the Chashina v'Rabbanan. He just has Sveikahi, which is particularly intriguing, because the Rambam is the Rishon who's associated with the view that when, you know, we have Sveika Daraisa, you know, it's only L'chumra Midrabana. So is this an exception to that Because he should have been the one who said Chayshina v'drabanan here, or Sveika v'chayshina v'drabanan, or is this, no, it's an example of it, by saying Sveika he, or Safeku, he's just saying, plug it in. The Gemara says Safek v'chayshina, and Ram doesn't need to say that, because that's what he means. So there's a machlokes rishonim within Shitas HaRambam, you know, they don't announce that it's a machlokes, but if you just read around, some rishonim understood that the Rambam here meant real Safek and L'chumra, Doraisa, and then it doesn't fit in with his normal view, Dafka. It's ironic, because he's the person who seemingly would have had the easiest time of reading the printed Girsa in the Gemara. Or no, it's exactly the opposite. They say he had that Girsa, but he just, you know, distilled it, because it's superfluous for him, L'shitaso, to add this. That's the Machlokas of the Iri and some of the other, Talmud Rajba. About the Rambam's view. So one issue is just to figure out what's going on here. The bigger issue, of course, is to figure out two other things. One is this whole idea of kiyikach, kitikach, kitilakach, you know, this idea of the man being the initiator of the Maisa Kiddushin, right? What is that, and how extensive is that? You know, what's that really all about? And more particularly, when it comes to the Amira aspect of it. Because the Nesina, we understand, Kiyikach, you know, at minimum means, and probably more intensively means, the Maisa Kiddushin. It's not so obvious that the Amira, right, is a chalos in the Ishus at all. Is it? And or is it under certain conditions? Even if it's not, does the initiative, you know, in Amira matter? Just, you know, to highlight it a little bit, and we'll talk about all these things next time, if you write a shtar, or in a get, is there even a din of Amira? Right? Can there be Kiddushin without Amira? The next Gemara speaks about, you know, Oskin, Be'iske, Gitin, V'Kiddushin. You know, not saying anything. Right? So what role, what are the parameters, in other words, of his being the initiator? And what is the role of Amira, you know, in general and in particular cases, in Kiddushin? Okay, these are all issues to think about. There's also, of course, one other case that's missing in the Gemara that we need to think about. That's what Tosas points out here. If you look at the little Tosas, Hanasan Huvi Amrahi, Tosas says, you have the Aleph for the Mashalo Hisker Klal Nas Nahib Amar Hu. How come we don't talk about that case? Mishum delo psikale, de pa'amim mekudeshes ba'adam chashu. Very fascinating, Tosas. Tosas says, oh, because there's no simple answer to that question. We'll see what Tosas means. The Rajba and the Rambam disagree with that too. That's also an interesting question. What about Nasrahi v'amaru? So we'll talk about this topic next time. I guess we'll be in touch.
Are you okay?
Will
we start half an hour later?
Yeah.
Start at 9 o'clock? All right, so I think next week we'll start half an hour later. So we'll start at 9 o'clock. So whoever wants to go to whatever Yom HaShalach, Yom Matzmo programs there are, can go, and then
we'll have the share at 9.
Have the share at 9.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Very good.